Welcome to another Carlo and Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, I don't know whether we can use the word special guest because I think that's overused, but we've got a real gentleman of sport on today.
A gentleman of sport. Well, yeah. That sounds pretty special to me.
No.
And anyone who wants to come on our show has got to be a little bit special.
Yeah, well, it's James Harris, the CEO of Softball SA. Welcome to the show, James.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, I've known James for a few years now. I remember he was a junior with Central District Baseball Club, but he was always a softballer at heart, and he's done quite well in his own career in men's softball. He's made the state team. How many times, James?
Record amount of times, game record holder, and since 2000 I made my debut with the Open Men's, still going.
Yeah, and how long have you been the CEO of Softball SA?
Since January 2011, so coming up to 9 years.
Wow.
And that's a lengthy time in that type of role, isn't it, James?
Yeah, I feel actually quite honoured to still be able to contribute to the sport that I love. But, yeah, I think so. Sports are one of those fluid environments where, you know, you see a lot of movement throughout governance and leadership roles.
I was going to say, it's just wonderful to see, because a lot of sports now might have CEOs who might not have a background or that real sort of innate passion for the sport, but obviously yourself as a player and you have that passion and you're putting it back into the sport.
Yeah, professionally speaking, you see a lot of CEOs with your degrees and your business backgrounds and finance, etc. I'm a bit of a jack of all trades, really, and I bring it to the sport that I love as well. So you add that passion to a professional side of things as well. And, you know, it's probably what's kept me here for so long.
Now, one thing I'd like to talk a little bit about today is your Hall of Fame and your life membership sort of. You've just inducted, what was it, 7 into the Hall of Fame?
7 new inductions this year. It's only the second time in our 75-year history that we've made inductions. The first one 10 years ago, 2009. Had about 15 inductions, and we've made 7 new ones today.
Wow. And they're not only players. I think you were telling me that 4 players, 2 umpires, and 1, was it administrator?
Yeah, that's right. Well, 3 players, and then 1 who's a player and a coach, and then 2 umpires and 1 statistician.
Well, seeming it's hot off the press, how about giving us a scoop and giving us the names and just a little bit on each of them?
Well, I'll go top of the shop. Tracy Freeman, formerly Tracy Mosley, 2-time Olympian, and, of course, famously, the Australian Olympic team won a medal at every Games they've participated so far. Might talk about the Olympics later. And she also played at 4 Senior World Championships, had a college career at Oklahoma City. Melissa McGee is a teacher at Salisbury High School, but she had a 10-year career with the Open Women's team, but 22 years of state representation, including being a team manager for her beloved Stars.
Wow.
A couple of years with the Aussie team. And the third player is the first men's player inducted into our Hall of Fame, Wes Francis. He had a 13-year career with the Open Men's team, 5 years as captain, then went on to do some coaching for us as well as junior Aussie squads and played 1 tournament for Australia back in the early 1990s.
Well, that's a real feather in the cap for the men's game because when people think of softball, obviously the women's game has been dominant since it started around World War II. But, you know, the men's game has really sort of come along a little bit. So it's good to see Wes, who's basically a household name around the softball circles, get in.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess it's a little bit relative to where you live as well, because if we're across the ditch in New Zealand, it's known as a men's game. 66% of their percentage of participation are a men's game. And with, was it 20-odd million people in the US that play softball, you know, a lot of would think junior women's, high school, college, but after the senior age group, it goes to men's.
And 2 umpires got in?
That's right. ISF, or World Baseball Softball Confederation inductee, Neville Lawrence, became a state inductee. That's because we had a regulation to say that you needed to be retired from state representation for 4 years for an official. Now we've brought that into line and you don't need to be retired because he's actually still active, but he's also the record holder for years representing South Australian softball at national championships for 28 years. Also has an international career as an umpire at the Athens Olympics in 2004. The other umpire was Damien McCauley, 25 years national championships and 20 years internationally. That included this year's World Baseball Softball Men's World Championship in the Czech Republic.
And the admin person, that's Lindy?
Well, she's in for statistician. She's had a career that's probably outlasted all of them, but because she gets national appointments as a statistician for the national tournament, it doesn't get counted as state representation, unfortunately. So although she's got 22 years of state representative career, she's also got another 15 with the national side of things as well. So she could be 30-plus years if we started counting that as state representation. But Lindy Radigan is, I guess you could say, the matriarch of men's softball in South Australia as well, because she kept it running through the 2000s almost single-handedly. And her son, Scott, is a player as well, who's a bit of a legend now around softball SA men's circuits. And Lindy's gone on to be Australian men's statistician for 2 years and junior men's statistician. She's been to two junior men's world championships. So absolute legend.
So that wraps up all the Hall of Famers, or have we missed someone?
Annie Finch had combined service as a player and a coach, 8 years as an open women's player, and then another 7 years as the open women's coach, whether as head coach or assistant coach. But she also has a stack of national representation as a coach with the junior women's program, two junior women's world championships. And over the last couple of years, she's done a couple of tours with the senior women's team, World Cup of Softball in the US, Canada Cup, Denso Series, which was here in Adelaide, as well as Asia Pacific Cup in Blacktown in New South Wales, and even a tour to Japan last year as well, Kochi City.
I remember the Denso team coming to Adelaide. The temperature sort of reached some pretty high heat effect. It was about 45 degrees.
We had to reschedule our games, which were mid-afternoon, to very early in the morning. The Japanese girls had come from a minus 10 or minus something temperature to be in the middle of our red-hot summer, 40 degrees.
Gee, and we'll just quickly touch on the life membership and then get stuck into talking about the South Australians who are representing Australia at the Olympic thing coming up.
Yeah, we had two life members awarded life membership this year, Julie Dale and Derek Roberts, both legends of the sport here in South Australia for great contributions to it in an administrative capacity. So two very popular life member inductees.
Now, on the national scene, where there's a couple of people that have been involved over the last year or two, there's been obviously Belle White has been just basically the major South Australian rep over the last 5 years. Maddie Cameron, Jordan Lambert, Chelsea Robinson and Steph Trzaski, they all seem to be playing a role. Let us know, tell us what's happening at the end of this month with the Australian team getting ready for the Olympics and who from South Australia representing Australia.
Well, softball was famously, I guess you could say, softball and baseball taken out of the Olympic program after the 2008 games in Beijing. But up to that point, Australia had always medaled whenever they'd competed in the Olympics in softball. And so it was a very welcome return to the program when Tokyo added it as a sport. And six teams have actually been competing, and five have already been selected from different areas and regions around the world. The very last spot up for grabs is the Asian Oceania qualifier in September, at the end of September, so this month. And we've got two girls heading over. You mentioned Belle White. She has been in the national program since the last Olympics, so been to four world championships.
Wow.
And so that Olympic dream is within her reach. And then Maddie Cameron only debuted for the Aussie Spirit late last year at the Japan Cup, but she has come on in leaps and bounds. She played in the professional MPF circuit earlier this year, as did Belle Jordan and Steph Trzynski. But they're the only two at this stage. But, you know, there's other girls knocking on the door. And should Australia qualify at the end of this month, you never know. Another strong performance at the Gillies Shield in January. And, you know, who knows who might get a late call up.
So, James, this selection competition in China, Who will we be up against, and what do you think the chances are of snaring that last spot?
It's a great question, Sean. We don't have to come up against Japan. They are automatic qualifiers as hosts, and they're world number one or two. You know, it just depends on their day in their competition with the US for world supremacy. But we've got a great chance. China, who are hosting in Shanghai, will always be strong. They've got a lot of funding to back their sport. They've got a new US coach that they've imported in to sharpen them up a little bit. And they actually knocked off Australia in our home tournament, the Asia Pacific Cup, earlier this year to make the final against Chinese Taipei. Actually, they won the final against Chinese Taipei. So we will play those two teams in the qualifier. We qualified through Oceania to be in the Asia Oceania. So New Zealand will also be there as well. The White Sox, they've actually upset a couple of these strong Asian teams over the last few years. So they won't be any knockover either. But there'll be another four teams there. But we roll out the four strongest teams in the Asian area. So I'd say China, Chinese Taipei.
So it's going to be a pretty big competition, a tough competition by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it'd be a fierce competition. We just saw the Americas. They actually have two spots, but US won the last World Championship, so they qualified for the Olympic Games as well. So they've actually got three. And we saw Canada and Puerto Rico battle it. Oh, Mexico. Canada and Mexico battle it out. So Mexico will debut for the first time in softball at the Olympics next year. And Canada's world number three. So Mexico edged out Canada. Gee, it's going to be tough. Whoever the sixth team is going to be, they'll be up against tough opposition. Italy is the other team, and they qualify through the Africa Euro region.
Gee, it sounds so exciting. I mean, Olympics are just a special time, aren't they, Sean? I mean, you've been at several Olympics yourself as a competitor with Hannah, though. What is it like for these girls? What, the ones that haven't represented Australia at the Olympics, what is it going to be like for them?
Well, I was just going to say, rail about myself, but softball. I mean, I don't know about softball like you guys, but my understanding of softball and when I've really been watching softball has been the Olympics, and I know we've got a great track record. So I'm really hoping that the team can get through. I mean, I was just going to ask that question, James, in terms of what will the Olympics do for softball? Like, it has been out of the competition for a while. It's fabulous that it's back in. If the girls were to make it, what's in the past has it done for softball in Australia when we've had our teams doing so well at such a big competition?
Look, I will be brutally honest. I think as a sport, we were confident and comfortable in our own environment, knowing that we're an Olympic sport, that Australia had Olympic success, three bronze and a silver medal. And perhaps we're a little confident that, you know, everything would just happen automatically. But we saw a decline in numbers over a 20-year period. And I believe that this time around, we won't take that Olympic status for granted. I mean, there's no guarantee it'll be in Paris in 2024, but LA in 2028. have almost guaranteed that softball will be another sport to be competed for. So we won't take it for granted this time round. It is absolutely... The girls going to the qualifier are hinging on our opportunities for more marketing, televised events through Fox Sports, and you know, you can't buy that sort of exposure for young players that we want to attract to the sport. So this time round, I think you'll see more of a business approach to being an Olympic sport rather than, you know, we're an Olympic sport, let's see everyone come to us. So we'll try and capitalise as much as possible on that. To be honest, the funding from Sport Australia, it's vital. If we don't qualify, we could see a cut in funding of millions within the sport across the country.
Well, James, that's enough for now. I'm sure that Sean and I will have you on again in a month or two just to sort of see how things are progressing. So thank you again, James. So it's another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.